I love these guys.
Welcome to the Second Hand Lions podcast. My name is John Drennan. I'm here in New Hampshire with my good friend Bill Radford. He's in Nova Scotia. And we met in college many years ago in the 70s, and we both are lifetime Lions fans. We survived that, those decades of losing to finally get to the era of Sheila Hamp Ford and Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes, etc. So, Bill, I want to start with this. Lions fans probably know by the time they hear this, but Rod Wood, the president of the Lions, is retiring, so they are actively searching for his replacement. When I heard that, my first thought was, well, Chris Spielman, but then that position tends to be one that comes more from the business world, less from the player world, but who knows? You know, there's different names already being mentioned, and anyhow, and then
what are some of the names?
I believe Mike Disner, he's the current chief operating officer, and then I heard I'm going to name Matt Derry does a daily Monday through Friday Lions podcast on Locked on Lions. I've really grown to appreciate his daily podcast. It's about 30 minutes. And he mentioned a woman executive, part of the Lions. I don't remember her name, but I thought he said she's the CFO. But when I looked it up, it wasn't her. Allison, I believe, is her name. But anyhow, a business executive who's been with the Lions and or the Fords. Anyhow, I think that's not a role that impacts wins and losses as much as maybe just operations of things around the program. But, and then Bill, I want to talk about their new offensive coordinator, Petzing, who's, you know, they hired him soon after the season, and in fact, before the Super Bowl. And like you and I, a lot of people said, who is this guy, and wanted to know more, and we're kind of hoping it was going to be Mike McDaniel and wondered about other names. But I tell you, Bill, I listened to a recent interview of Petzing, and I've tried to learn everything I can. I'm really excited about this hire. He's young. He adapts. He's done well. He's come up through a great legacy of coaches that have taught him. He's been a position coach of almost everywhere you can play on offense. Smart guy, loves a run game, loves play action, loves tight ends. I'm excited for what he's going to do. And then you got Mike Kafka, who many thought might be our offensive coordinator, also has been hired and is part of the offense. So I just like those. And I know we've talked about this on the last couple of weeks, but I want to talk about it again. But I got more to say. But how about you? I know you've been following the upcoming draft.
Yeah, I've been looking at some of the mock drafts, and you know, these guys are supposedly experts, but you know, the definition of an expert is anybody 50 miles from home. So take it with a grain of salt, but I just thought I'd mention a few of the names that that they're mentioning. Akeem Messidor from Miami is an edge. And Sonny Styles from Ohio State. Another edge from Auburn is Kedrick Falk. And the assessment here is he carries some risk as a first rounder. Says he didn't prove to be an elite pass rusher in college, but there were flashes. And given that he won't turn 21 until September, he has plenty of time to develop. I don't know how I feel about choosing a development player in the first round. And then another name is Monroe Freeling, an offensive tackle from Georgia. And that might help, considering that Skipper is gone and Decker is he for sure gone, or is that a likelihood?
No, the question is, will he retire? And if he doesn't, will the Lions let him go? Because it would be
Right.
good for their salary cap.
Okay. So they might need an offensive tackle. Then another offensive tackle from Alabama, Caden Proctor, is a,
He's a mountain man.
yeah, he's a popular choice. Again, Akeem Mesidor was mentioned again. And then another guy that was mentioned twice is some an edge from Texas A&M called Cassius Howell. So it seems like that TJ Parker again, TJ Parker twice, Cassius Howell twice. It seems to me like most of the pundits are saying they need an edge to go with Hutch.
So,
But
Bill, you started this by talking about these so-called experts. I love how you put that. And so let's you and I for a minute. I'm curious what you think the first five needs are in order of priority, position-wise. And I'll tell you, I got mine written down, so I'll share mine after you share yours.
well, I would say these kind of go hand in hand, edge and a lockdown corner. So you can flip them if you want to, but an edge, a pass rush helps the secondary. And a lockdown corner helps the pass rush. They go hand in hand. Look at Seattle. I mean, they were able to get to the quarterback. So I would say edge, cornerback, offensive tackle, interior line, and another running back. Because running backs get hurt.
Okay. Well, we're different here, but I like the philosophy of starting with defense. You know, Lions defense was not a top 15 this year. I think they're 23rd or something overall, and certainly a lot of that was due to injury. But I agree, the edge cornerback and how those two help each other. And you and I were talking earlier about Jeff Okudah, who was drafted several years ago out of Ohio State with like the third pick in the draft. And, you know, he ended up being a flop, but he got hurt. I think that was a big part of it and just never became a anything close to a lockdown corner. And it seems like the Lions, you know, 2 years ago, they get Terrion Arnold and Rijkstra in the same draft, thinking both those guys could be really special players. Well, Rijkstra, I think I'm pronouncing his last name right, hasn't played basically, hurt for 2 years. And Terrion had a kind of rough first half of his rookie year. It got better. But then the second year, he looked better, but he was hurt most of the season. So I say all that to say, wouldn't it be nice if the Lions could actually draft a cornerback that can stick around and be a lockdown? But here's my pick. I think the number one is center. And I'm going to go with offense. I just think we need an anchor at center. And my number two is tackle. So a second offensive lineman, but why? Well, partly to go with their new offensive coordinator, and partly because I think at tackle, as good as Taylor Decker's been, he's been so hurt, he might retire. They might decide to let him go because it could free up enough cap space to pay a new center, a new tackle, and a new cornerback rookie salary. My third option, an edge, And they're definitely going to get one, whether it's in the draft or free agency. My fourth is a safety, and that's only because I think Kirby Joseph's future is in question, and I don't think Brian Branch will be 100% anywhere close by the start of the season. So two of the best safeties in the NFL that we have, we don't have. And then quarterback was my fifth option. Cornerback it was my fifth option. So
Yeah, those are good choices, John. The only one that I might differ with you on is center. I just think it's difficult for a rookie to come in and play center right off the bat.
and Bill, sorry to clarify, I'm saying need. So whether it's a draft need or a
Oh,
free agency,
yeah,
yeah,
I
because
took it to mean draft picks.
because we were talking draft. You're right. Because I 100% agree with you. I don't want to count on a rookie center.
Right.
So, and I think there's potentially three or four good centers, either free agency or trade options that the Lions could pursue.
Right. So that's what I probably would have included center if I would have understood your
Right.
question better. But yeah, I agree with you about the safeties as well. They're, I mean, it's just a shame because at the start of the season and through a lot of the season, I think we had the best safety tandem in the league.
You and pretty much everybody in the NFL would agree with that. So you're
Right. And then
right.
so suddenly we don't have either of
Right.
them. And I know Branch tried to play hurt, or was it Joseph, or both of them, and it didn't work. And
Joseph against the Kansas City Chiefs, he shouldn't have played. He was
well,
awful, and it was his
yeah.
injury.
Well, I mean, good for him for making the effort, but man, it's just so hard in the last 2 years, really. Even when the Lions were 15-2, they were plagued with injuries on defense,
That's right.
which is it's just a shame that they weren't able to stay healthy enough. So, and this has nothing to do with football, but just as we were coming on, I mentioned that the United States women beat Canada in the gold medal game in overtime. So, hooray for us.
Yeah, and I missed that, but you had said exciting game that they were down by one and scored with less than 2 minutes to go to send it to overtime and win it. That's exciting.
Yeah. So,
Bill,
yeah.
back to the draft.
Okay.
Just a couple things. My guess is for what the pundits thought would happen and what actually happened, they were off more with Brad Holmes than probably any GM in the league. They thought, no way he's taking Jahmyr Gibbs. And a lot of them said, no way they're taking Penei Sewell when you can get Chase, the wide receiver out of LSU. And no way are they taking Jack Campbell as a linebacker. And so I say that to say all these names are going to be coming up, like the ones you've mentioned. I've been watching draft boards and seeing all these names and starting to get familiar with who's going to be available. And come draft day, Brad Holmes, you never know. It's kind of fun. But I want to mention I went to the draft in Detroit 2 years ago. So last year was in Green Bay. Year before that, it was in Detroit. I know I mentioned this on one of our early podcasts, but what a great time that was, Bill, to be in downtown Detroit 3 days in a row where there was about 250,000 people each day. A lot of the same people, but also a lot of different people each day. And lots of beer was being consumed and lots of different people. But I never saw one incident of anything close to violence or really. I never saw anything that I thought was distasteful or uncomfortable. It was just this massive party, people there from all different teams wearing their stuff, and Just a lot of celebs around the city and just a vibrant, it was a blast to be there for that. So,
This year it's I think it's in Pittsburgh.
yeah, Pittsburgh.
So, back to Petsing, I'm going to be really interested to see what he does with the offense, because what I've heard is he focuses on what Detroit is good at, the play action game, running the ball. Man, when that year we were 15 and 2, I mean, if it was third and goal from the six, we're as likely as anything to hand it off and score a touchdown.
Right.
So,
Well, he likes to use the 13, and what that means, and this kind of stuff I've learned this year, when you hear 13 offense, that's one running back and three tight ends. When you
right.
hear 12, that's one running back and two tight ends, so you have an extra receiver. But the 13, I mean, you got two tight ends, let's say on the same side of the ball as Penei Sewell, and another one on the other side who maybe is coming across. You're blocking with a Sherman tank. And we didn't have that capacity this year. Kind of did
Well,
last year.
the only difficulty that I see with the 13, so you have your five regular offensive linemen, you have three tight ends, that's eight. You have a quarterback and a running back, that's 10. You only have one wideout.
Right. So you're basically saying we're going to run. Good luck stopping us.
Right, but who are you putting? Who's not in the game? Amon St. Brown or Jameson?
Doesn't matter. You're going for third and one.
Well,
Doesn't
right.
matter.
Sure, but I wouldn't want to run 13 all the time.
Oh, no. It's very situational. Now 12 can be good because you got two wide outs and two tight ends, effectively four receivers plus a running back. I think we're going to get smarter this year with offense just because of Petsing and everything we learn.
Well, we missed Ben Johnson. We did.
Yeah, and honestly, I was very hopeful that Johnny Moe would do the job given how long he'd been around and everything he'd seen and been part of, but he just wasn't the guy, and Petsing, I think, will be the guy. He won't be Johnson, but who knows? I know he's excited. The big question's been, do the Lions keep David Montgomery? And in his interview, I heard, he referenced Montgomery a lot and how much you can do with two backs of that caliber. And I think you and I and every Lions fan I've been around would love to see both Gibbs and Montgomery on the field at the same time. For
You can't run 12 or 13 with that.
That's right. But you don't need two and three tight ends if you're just churning yards and going in the end zone. I think Gibbs will be used as a receiver a lot, as he kind of was last year. And but Montgomery's a good receiver, so I'm just excited with what Petsing does with these guys.
Well, you mentioned Johnny Moe was not the guy that we were hoping for. Neither was Coach Campbell.
No. And Bill, I think part of it when he took over play calling, which I think was a good thing, wasn't good from the standpoint I think the rest of his coaching dropped. He just. You can only do so much on the sideline during a game, and calling plays and managing a game just doesn't seem possible. And by the way, Bill,
Well,
one thing Petsing said in his interview is he said, I think he said it this way, we have four offensive coordinators, me, meaning Petsing, who has been in that role, Kafka, who was in that role this year with the Giants, Dan Campbell, who's been calling plays for the Lions, and Jared Goff. And I love that he mentioned Jared Goff. He said he's an offensive coordinator on the field. This guy is so good. I mean, Petsing, just really stroked Goff's ego, but I think in a genuine way. So I love that.
I saw it sometimes. I know Facebook has become something for old people like me. The funny thing is, I resisted for a long time. I finally got a Facebook account so I could talk to my kids, and now none of them use it. So,
And I don't
but
use it, so is there anyone left out there for
right.
you?
But a lot of times they do these comparisons, and they did a comparison of Goff and Stafford since the trade. And
Oh,
it's
yeah.
astounding how close they are.
Yep, I saw that comparison.
The quarterback rating at the end is within a point, one and the other. I don't even remember which one was highest, excuse me, but so I think the Lions got a quarterback that was, at least for them, equivalent to Stafford. And I'm not arguing that Goff's as good as Stafford. It would be hard to say that anybody is in the league right now that's as good a passer, as good a quarterback as Stafford. But all of the other things that we got with Goff, I think that made a great trade for us.
Yeah, and Bill, I remember the podcast we did prior to the Lions Rams game that was played out there in LA. I brought up the comparison at that point, and talked about it, and I couldn't believe it how similar those numbers were.
Yeah, and you have to remember that includes a very dark season for the Lions, where they didn't win a game until their 13th or 14th game of the season.
And that was the same year the Rams were winning the Super Bowl.
Right. So since then, Goff has been much better.
Right. And
So.
here's the other thing, weapons, and they both had weapons. I mean, the year they won the Super Bowl, Cooper Kupp was named MVP. And I believe, what's his name? The very good receiver that came in for the Rams that year.
Puka
No, it was before that. He had been a giant and
Don't
veteran
remember.
receiver. Anyhow. Well, Bill, I want to segue here. I spent some time with the existing roster. And I was looking at what players are in question right now for the Lions. Let me just kind of go through this. Alex Anzalone, most people are agreeing he will not be a Lion next year for different reasons. DJ Reader, defensive line, most people, same thing. Amik Robertson, people are hoping will be a Lion, but that's going to be a question mark. Kirby Joseph, his knee is a question mark. Ray Lopez, I think they'll sign him and get him back. Terrion Arnold and Rakestraw, both of them, it's injuries. David Montgomery, there's a lot of talk of him moving on to go to a team that will really pay him and play him. Kalief Raymond, I know Lions fans and Dan Campbell love Kalief Raymond. But it's questionable if he'll be back. Taylor Decker, a lot of people think he'll retire, or even if he doesn't, that it's time to get his replacement. And I believe he's, of all the likely players they might let go, he frees up the most salary caps, around $11 million he would free up. Graham Glasgow. Most agree he'll probably be gone. I think he would free up about 7 million salary cap. Then Elkamine Muhammad, pretty much everyone agrees they need to re-sign him, and I think they will. And then Marcus Davenport, I just don't see him being a Lion next year with all the injuries. Well, that's a lot of player right there, that list.
Right. That's where you have to trust Brad Holmes.
Yeah, and I do. And it'll be interesting to see between the injuries and who stays and who leaves, what that looks like come start of the season. Then I got two more lists. And some of these, think about this. Do you remember Zach Cunningham from preseason?
No.
He's a backup linebacker, had a really good preseason. I think he was good on special teams. He ended up being hurt most of the season, but he showed real promise. And this is relevant if Alex Anzalone's gone. And then, of course, Avante Maddox, Rocky Sin, and Harper. What's his first name? The backup safety. Those three guys played great in backup roles, and hopefully they all get signed and come back. And do you remember the name Dan Jackson?
I do not.
He was like a sixth-round pick last year from Georgia, safety. They're pretty high on him to help in special teams and backup safety. Spent the year injured. You remember Ahmad Hassanine?
Yes.
Spent most of the year injured. He's back as an edge rusher. I know if you go back and listen to the first four or five podcasts we did, I was talking about him every time, how he'd be a fan favorite. You love this guy. And I'm surprised I haven't heard anything about him in the podcasts and stuff I listened to, but he was back, theoretically available to come back on the field at the end of the season. So I'm excited what might become of him. And then finally, Meke Wingo, who they drafted two years ago. He was injured most of the year. So these are guys that all have been either injured or good backups that should all be able to contribute next year, maybe in a big way.
Yeah, you mentioned Muhammad. Hutchinson has come out and said he really hopes that he gets re-signed.
Yeah, and thinking about Muhammad, he had 11 sacks. And that put him like in the top 12 in the NFL, might have been top 10. And he only plays pretty much on third down, rushing down or passing downs rather.
That's a little, 11 is good no matter how you get there, but it's a little misleading because he had 5 in one game against Minnesota, I think. So he had 6 the rest of the year. But still, you hit 50 home runs, they don't dock you for hitting 3 in one game. So.
Right. Well, I think you go back and ask, what do you have for l lunch that
Yeah, right.
day? But Bill, I got one more list because I'm fascinated by this. I'm going to read some names and see if you, our listeners aren't going to know these names unless they're really into this. See if you do. Mason Miller, De Devin Cochran, Seth McLaughlin. Do you recognize any of those names?
I think they're a Scottish boy band, aren't they?
Well, let me add three more names and see now they all share the same thing. Jamarco Jones, Colby Swordstill, and Giovanni Manu.
I know Giovanni Manu.
So you know he's a tackle that this year is going to make or break. And
Right.
I proposed recently switch them to D line and just have them be a run stuffer. Colby Swordstill, this will be his fourth year. He's 6'6", 315-pound tackle out of William and Mary, hurt all year. It's his make or break year. Jamarco Jones, 6'4", 315-pound. This will be his seventh year out of Ohio State. He was going to be kind of the backup to Decker. He was hurt all year.
7 years,
McLaughlin.
though, a lot of guys, that's a career.
Well, this will be his seventh year. It'll be Decker's, I think, 11th year. But yeah, he's been around. But the first three names I mentioned, Mason Miller, he was a rookie last year, 6'7", 310 out of North Dakota State. And it seems like any player that comes from one of the Dakotas, Montana, or Wyoming somehow is going to be a good NFL player if they make it to a roster. Those schools put out some studs. The second name I mentioned was Devin Cochran. He's be fourth year this year, 6'7", 310 out of Georgia Tech. He's the guy that filled in right there at the very end of the season and did quite well in one game. And then finally, Seth McLaughlin, 6'4", 305-pound rookie, Ohio State. I didn't even know he was on the roster till I just went and looked. So what's my point? That's six potential offensive linemen, tackles mainly, big potential studs, virtually all hurt this year. Is that going to yield us some depth at tackle? I would think so.
Could be. One of the, I've heard this multiple times. One of the most important abilities for an NFL player is availability.
I love that.
If you're hurt all the time, you're not available, no matter what your skill set is. If you can't stay on the field, it doesn't matter. So, a guy, it's not necessarily their fault. People say things like, well, he just had a lot of bad luck. He kept getting hurt. Either that or his body just wasn't built to play NFL football.
Yes, a lot of factors there.
How many running? I mean, you think of these, like Gale Sayers is one of the best running backs ever, but he kept getting hurt. Billy Sims, before Barry Sanders, he was the best running back Detroit ever had, but he got
Yep.
hurt.
And you remember Steve Owens?
Oh, yeah. First
Same
1,000-yard rusher.
yeah, career-ending injury.
Yeah.
Oh, and didn't Mel Farr also end up at some point? Same thing? Or no? I don't really
Well,
remember.
back then, though, if you blew out your knee, there was no such thing as arthroscopic surgery and
Yeah.
things like that. So, I mean, if you wrecked your knee or something, it was just over.
Right. And Bill, so when you mentioned that, Anas Rakestraw, who I've mentioned, they were so high on him when they drafted him 2 years in a row, different injuries, sidelined both years. So, yeah, it's too bad. All right, well, we're coming back next week. I think the what do we call it? The NFL Olympics is coming up with the I'm what's in the combine.
Okay,
We're
there you
gonna
go.
see how fast you can run, how high you can jump, how far you can throw. But
I never heard it put that way, but that's pretty good. Well,
yeah, well.
after talking about all those injuries, I feel like we have to have a little bit of positives in that some of our best players like Goff, Sewell, Gibbs, Amon-Ra St. Brown,
Jack Campbell.
Jack Campbell, they haven't been hurt.
Yeah.
So hopefully they can continue to do that.
Yeah. And again, the Lions aren't the only team. I mean, every team gets hammered with injuries, and some more so than others year to year. So, but I do think you can look at teams that end up, being in and winning Super Bowls. Generally, by that point in the season, they're pretty healthy and their quarterbacks are healthy. And one
Yeah.
last thing, speaking of Super Bowl, Bill, I see the Seattle Seahawks are up for sale. I know you and I aren't going to be in on bidding for them, but I guess the trust, the So Paul Allen was the owner, and he passed, and apparently his trust, they were, I don't know, directed to or chose to sell and donate proceeds to charities. So
Well, they couldn't have picked a better time for the price
that's
with your book.
right. Sell at a premium.
Well, John, it's been good to be with you. I hope we'll have some more interesting Lion and NFL news next week. Hopefully, the men's hockey team in the Olympics will fare as well as the women did. And since we're Detroit fans, the Pistons play the Knicks tonight.
A rematch for the quarterfinals last year.
Right, the Pistons are in first place by a wide margin in the Eastern Conference.
And last I saw, they were ahead of the Thunder in terms of losses. I think they had 13 and the Thunder had 14 losses.
There you go.
So it's pretty exciting stuff.
And Michigan basketball is on top of the world.
Yeah, they saw them the other night, Bill. They beat Purdue in spite of giving the ball to Purdue on a regular basis. I thought, when are you guys going to stop throwing the ball to Purdue? They still won by like 10 because they overcame mistakes, and that's what really good teams do.
Well, they wanted to make it a little more enjoyable for the Purdue fans, I guess.
Yeah, piss them off more. So, right. We'll see you next week. For our listeners, thanks for tuning in here to the Secondhand Lions podcast. We're taking the trip to the Super Bowl with the Lions, hopefully next season. All right, Bill, see you in a week.
Right. I know.